This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
While modern-day Supreme Court nominees look to Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's 1993 confirmation as the guideline for declining to discuss how they'd potentially rule on hot-button issues, Democrats apparently want to break with that precedent and say it's only fair that Judge Kavanaugh tell them how he personally feels about certain topics. Joining me now to discuss is former law clerk to Justice Anthony Kennedy and Judge Brett Kavanaugh. It is great to see you tonight, to have you with us as we look ahead and see where this is going. Justin, you were with us last week. I wasn't here, but you were reacting, I'm sure, to the selection of, or the potential selection of Judge Kavanaugh. Now that we know he's the man, how are you feeling?
Oh, I'm so excited for him. I'm so excited for the country. I think the country got just a little bit of a glimpse of what Judge Kavanaugh is like as a judge and as a person when he gave that great speech from the White House on the night of his announcement. And I think the more they learn about him, how he coaches his little girls' basketball team, how he's been a judge on the second most important court in the country for 12 years, and how he has stood time and time again for important principles of judicial restraint, independence, fair-mindedness, I think America is just going to love Brett Kavanaugh.
You know that there are some conservatives who are concerned about him. Let me read you a little bit from a David French opinion piece. He says this about the president. He went establishment. He chose a man that any Republican president would have nominated. He made the best safe choice he could. The president blinked. There it was, for the first time in Trump's judicial wars, a palpable sense of opportunity lost.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, there's just not a single word in that statement that is true or based on fact. And I say that as an admirer of David French, who often agrees with the things that he writes. But, you know, this idea, first of all, that David French raised. Look, Judge Kavanaugh is the opposite of a conventional Georgetown cocktail party D.C. elite. He'd much rather have a beer and watch a hockey game. And then in terms of the kind of judge he is, he is the definition of extraordinary. He may be the most qualified and credentialed nominee to the Supreme Court in a generation or two. 12 years on the D.C. Circuit, 300 opinions, and maybe most impressively of all, 13 different vindications by the Supreme Court of an opinion that Judge Kavanaugh wrote. That is an unparalleled record of excellence.
Okay, so let's talk about this idea now. The Democrats say that they expect him, when he sits down for his hearing, that they want to hear how he personally feels about a number of things. Here is Chuck Schumer, of course, the Senate's top Democrat.
The next nominee has an obligation, a serious and solemn obligation, to share their personal views on these legal issues.
But here's what Justice Ginsburg said in her confirmation hearing back in 1993.
A judge sworn to decide impartially can offer no forecasts, no hints, for that would show not only disregard for the specifics of the particular case, it would display disdain for the entire judicial process.
So how do you see this playing out for Judge Kavanaugh?
Well, Judge Ginsburg was exactly correct. I expect Judge Kavanaugh to explain to the committee that he's happy to talk about his approach to the law in general terms, and that approach includes fidelity to the text of statutes and the Constitution. It includes an appreciation for history and structure and precedent. But I think, you know, this idea that Judge Kavanaugh should be the first Supreme Court nominee to talk about his personal views on hypothetical situations, first of all, you know, it's unprecedented. Secondly, it misconstrues the role of a judge. The judge's personal views should not come into play. A judge should not invent the law. A judge should simply apply the law as it's written.
Well, hypotheticals will always get you in trouble. We learned that in law school. Justin Walker, thanks for being with us tonight. See you again soon.
Justin Walker, of course, a former colleague of Judge Kavanaugh, and giving us some insight there. And of course, this conversation is going to continue. We've got Gail Trotter coming up next.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 55 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. That's BEST 55 to 443-443.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's growing, never stop.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Judicial Crisis Network spokeswoman Gail Trotter joins us now. Gail, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Bill?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you so much. Great to be talking to you. Of course, the Judicial Crisis Network, very involved, very helpful in securing the seat for Justice Gorsuch. And we know how that history has been playing out. And, of course, now your objective is focused on this new nominee, Judge Kavanaugh.
That's right, and we are excited to be part of the process of helping another top legal mind be put on the Supreme Court.
And, the Democrats, you got to love them. I mean, they're going to try to work every angle. They throw hooks out there. It seems like Jeff Sessions was, thank God, the only one that has bitten that hook and has fallen victim. And, of course, that continues to drag him along through this current administration. But hopefully Judge Kavanaugh does not bite into this hook that somehow in an unprecedented way that Judge Kavanaugh should be sharing his feelings about hypothetics.
No, definitely not. He should follow the Ruth Bader Ginsburg model of telling the Senate that he cannot prejudge any cases or controversies that might be before him. This is something that Democratic nominees and Republican nominees from presidents on both parties have properly said when they went through hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee and the Senate to understand that they are not supposed to insert their own political preferences or their public policy preferences into their job as Supreme Court justices, and instead they're supposed to interpret the law and be faithful to the Constitution, as Judge Kavanaugh has shown that he is.
Well, the left's worldview is one of activism, so anything that opposes an activist viewpoint is going to be heretical for them. And this is the problem. I mean, they want to be able to go to a judge to make law, which is not what a judge is supposed to do.
That's right. They want the Supreme Court to be a naked power organ, which is one of the best phrases from any Supreme Court case before. And they want to be able, when they lose in the ballot box and they lose in the public debate of these discussions of these national topics of interest, they want to appeal to the Supreme Court and get the Supreme Court to take their side. And unfortunately, sometimes they've been successful at that. But President Trump, when he was a candidate, said that he was going to appoint judges who were faithful to the Constitution. He did that with Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch, and now it's time for another great justice.
Well, amazing that this president said he was going to be transparent and is actually transparent. The previous administration said they were transparent and they were anything but. I'm not sure I saw much transparency on display. Did you?
No, and it is interesting when you look at just this issue of the judicial selection process. President Trump, when he was a candidate, he went out and put a list and said, I'm going to pick nominees from this list. He added a few additional names in September of 2017, and he inquired of all the top legal minds, people who understood the complexities of the decisions that the Supreme Court must render, and he came up with the best and the brightest from across the country and all walks of life and lots of different personal backgrounds. And he really, through this process, was very informed in his decisions, and he is showing his commitment to his promise through the selection of Judge Kavanaugh.
Exactly. Well, it was so impressive to hear Judge Kavanaugh from the dais after the introduction by President Trump, laying out his background. You know, liberals had to go nuts because he talks about his mother in the inner city schools of, teaching blacks and poverty, kids experiencing poverty there, growing up with that. You know, his parents going on to become attorneys, learning law around the dinner table, his experience and commitment in his Catholic diocese in serving meals to the poor and homeless. He sounds like such a Boy Scout, and I think at the same time, Gail, he inspired people to say, you know what, maybe I should consider, you know, a more activated service life myself.
Yes, absolutely. So you pointed out some great things about the character of Judge Kavanaugh. He's very involved in his faith community. He's not one of these inside elites who doesn't care about the people that he lives around. Instead, he's out there working to improve his community at the level of people who, you know, don't have the same types of advantages that he had perhaps growing up. And he, in something that I particularly love, because I grew up playing basketball and my father was coach of my basketball team, he's the coach of his daughter's basketball team, and they call him Coach K, which of course is a nod to the famous Coach K.
Right, exactly. And so for those that, support Duke, that it gave a chuckle, as somebody said, they had to reluctantly chuckle because I think it was Sydney Powell. She said she's a North Carolina gal, and, she didn't, but, you know, she understood. So she had to smile just a bit.
That's right. And Judge Kavanaugh has just impeccable academic credentials. He went to Yale College and got his undergraduate degree there. Then he went to Yale Law School, which is, you know, one of the very top law schools in the country. And he has taught at other elite legal institutions through his career. He's had 2 decades, essentially, of public service, and he had the ability to be hired by Elena Kagan, who obviously is a liberal justice on the Supreme Court right now. But when she was in charge of hiring at Harvard, she recruited him and hired him to teach her students at Harvard Law School.
Yeah, that was painful for Chuck Schumer to swallow. That hurt him. That hurt him severely.
Yeah, I could hear him groaning from here. I'm not too far from Capitol Hill. And,
well, I heard a body drop. I thought he fainted.
Perhaps.
I don't know. But, so there's lots of good things. I just, with the emotional level that the left is putting on this, I hope and pray that he does not get borked.
Right, and you are seeing that approach. If you go on Twitter, there's a hashtag that says Kavanaugh Scandals. There was an article last night faulting him for buying Washington Nationals tickets, which I guess the people writing the article didn't remember that baseball is America's pastime. So the rest of America is not going to hold that against Judge Kavanaugh.
for buying national tickets. Yeah, well, you know, probably previously he could have hung out with
you know, with Charles Krautheimer, who was often seen at those games. Gail Trotter is with us. We're going to continue our conversation and break it down a little bit more, this negative reporting on Judge Kavanaugh and what we can look forward to, because you know they're going to pile on. This is just the beginning, and we're going to have probably 3 months of this. Gail Trotter on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Bill Martinez.
People hang on his every word, even the prepositions. He could disarm you with his looks or his hands. Either way, he can speak French in Russian. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Stay listening, my friend. Bill Martinez Live.
Don't believe the French and Russian deal, because I don't want to be looked at too closely. You know, they'll come after you. Anything, you know, that rhymes with the Russians these days becomes suspect. Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Judicial Crisis Network spokeswoman Gail Trotter is with us. Gail, we're talking the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Amazing that people on the right are lining up. What are they seeing? What are we not seeing here? That maybe they're sounding an alarm about this this justice, or is this just, you know, some bent perspective?
Right. It is bent perspective. No matter where the attacks on Judge Kavanaugh are coming from, they're unburdened by evidence or reason. If you look at the reality of it, Judge Kavanaugh is the most qualified person to serve on the Supreme Court for this vacancy right now. And he's written over 300 opinions. He has a long record of originalist and textualist judicial philosophy. And he, if you go read some of the highlights of his opinions, he understands the proper role of the judiciary. He respects the separation of powers. He understands that the administrative state can cause problems where Congress delegates power to an agency and then there's no control over that agency. So he has been excellent in that area. He's been excellent in the area of religious liberty, understanding that there is a place that the government cannot intrude in the practice of our faith, the free exercise of our faith. So no matter where the critiques are coming from, they're not based in reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you have someone who has rendered 300 decisions, 13 have been vindicated by SCOTUS. In fact, I guess some of those vindications were so good that SCOTUS, more than vindicated them. They endorsed it in such a way to say, hey, this is going to be, established precedent now.
That's right. He's a thought leader. When the Supreme Court, which is the highest court in the land, is accepting your rationale and your legal reasoning and adopting it as their own, then you have clear evidence that you're not just, mailing it in. You are really thinking through these controversial issues. And the court that he serves on, the D.C. Circuit Court, is frequently a feeder of judges to the Supreme Court. It's called the second highest court in the land, even though that's just a colloquial expression. It's not actually more powerful than any of the other circuit courts of appeal. But it does deal with particularly knotty issues that involve separation of power and constitutional issues. And so Judge Kavanaugh has already shaped himself by dealing with many of these very complicated fact patterns and legal controversies that have come before him already as a circuit court judge.
Yeah, by virtue of its location, he's going to run into more of those opportunities or more of those decisions than anybody else, right?
That's exactly right.
Right. Well, Judge Napolitano on Fox, stated his disappointment by Trump's Supreme Court pick. And I think it was more of an establishment issue because they see Judge Kavanaugh as an establishment figure. And they try to tie that into draining the swamp. But I can't connect the dots from Kavanaugh to the swamp.
No, that's right. And I think the fact that he served in the Bush White House is being used against him. If you are a man of integrity and principle who has stellar academic credentials and vast experience as a judge dealing with these issues, definitely you are going to garner attacks from those who don't want to see you ascend to that position of authority. Mm-hmm. And I think related to the being affiliated with the swamp, anyone who has been involved in public service for decades is going to run into different people, is going to serve in different administrations. That doesn't mean you endorse everything that administration did, but that is extremely valuable experience, especially when you're deciding these very complicated issues that deal with fights between the White House and Congress and the judicial branch. So he's seen it from different perspectives of the different branches.
I often tell my children, Gail, that experience defines preference. You know, what would you much rather have, a judge with experience and background like a Judge Kavanaugh or somebody who has had limited experience, even in some cases not even being in the legal field?
That's right. And I think when President Trump was talking about nominating the most qualified people, he took that very seriously. So, you know, before President Trump made his nomination, there were lots of ridiculous articles talking about, you know, the personal interactions he had with different potential nominees, and he was going to use that and his gut and his intuition. And I think this pick underscores that he picked someone with the best experience on the list to fill this role. So he cares about appointing someone who's an expert, someone who understands the role of a justice and has, you know, worked for 12 years being the best judge that he could possibly be.
Well, the left was loaded to bear. All they were waiting for was what name to put into their signs and the statements that they were supporting. And here it is. I mean, they live in the realm of the hyperbole. And, of course, the championing issue for them was that this judge was going to nullify Roe v. Wade.
Right. And isn't that not environmentally friendly to print a whole bunch of signs with different people's names on it and then just only use the ones of the person who was nominated? That doesn't seem very environmentally friendly to me. Certainly, you are going to see the Roe v. Wade issue used as a scare tactic, but this is nothing new. The left has used this against nominees by Republican presidents since the 1980s, mm-hmm. when President Ronald Reagan appointed the first woman to the Supreme Court, Sandra Day O'Connor. That scare tactic was used against her. It was resurrected when Anthony Kennedy was nominated. It was used again when David Souter was nominated. And all three of those justices upheld the core ruling of Roe v. Wade. You cannot predict ahead of time how any justice is going to react to being lifetime tenured and to being subject to the influence of the other justices and understanding the particular fact patterns of cases that come before them. So the hope is that whoever you put on the Supreme Court is going to serve for 3 or 4 decades, and you cannot even predict right now what kind of questions are going to come before the court.
And exactly, and it's going to come, you know, like as you say, there's going to be a question that comes before the court that's going to deal with this. This is why it's so hypothetical right now for Schumer and others to suggest that we should get a temperature reading on the justices' feelings.
Oh, right. I mean, that is the whole intention behind this, is how you feel about this nomination and how you feel about the president. And that's not what the Constitution says. The Constitution says exactly what President Trump tweeted on Sunday before he made his big announcement, the reveal of his big announcement. Nominating justices to the Supreme Court, candidates to the Supreme Court, that is one of the very most consequential things that a president can do. It's something that lasts way beyond his term in office. And while people should feel that Judge Kavanaugh is extremely qualified and is fair and independent, his record shows that he can listen to both sides of the argument and render impartial judgments. That is the kind of feeling that people should have about this whole process, and in particular, Judge Kavanaugh.
Well, Gallo is especially impressed that he said, this is what I'm going to tell the senators. And he laid it out, just as you just stated. His approach to making a decision, his commitment to the Constitution, I mean, that's really what it's all about. I mean, you don't sit there and ask an umpire, well, how do you feel about strikes and balls? You know, do you have a certain feeling when a certain pitcher is pitching, or do you just call the balls or the strikes, right?
Exactly right.
I guess just an errant analogy here, maybe to bring it into a little bit of perspective. Gail Trotter has been with us. Gail, thank you. Great stuff. Appreciate the insight.
Yes, and if you want to learn more about Judge Kavanaugh, go to confirmkavanaugh.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem, and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump leaves the NATO summit in Brussels saying he believes the alliance is doing much better than it was before he arrived for those meetings. He says that NATO allies have agreed to step up defense spending.
We will go to much higher than 2% into the future, but right now we're getting people up to 2%, and that'll take place over a fairly short period of time, a short number of years.
A NATO spokesman says member nations had already agreed on spending 2% of GDP before the summit was held. President Trump is now in London, where he'll be meeting with the British Prime Minister. U.S. military officials say North Korea was a no-show at a meeting to discuss the return of remains of U.S. soldiers killed in the Korean War. U.S. officials reportedly waiting at the demilitarized zone when the Korean officials just never showed up. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Captain Obvious, and Hotels.com rewards me basically everywhere I stay.
Hey!
So why am I outside my beachfront suite, aimlessly leading a 40-guest conga through the streets of Myrtle Beach?
Hey!
Because Hotels.com lets me do me.
Hey!
And because once you start a conga, apparently it's impossible to stop.
Hey!
I have no idea where I'm leading these people. Hey! Hotels.com. You do you and get rewarded.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live. Bill Martinez live.
You like us, fresh and independent every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. Bill Martinez here, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Brian Abrams is back with us. Hasn't been since last year when we were talking about partying like a president. And, boy, I'll tell you, he's got a new book that you'll want to take note of called Obama, an Oral History, 2009 to 2017. Brian, welcome back. Good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me back on. I'm doing all right.
Well, wonderful. This book is going to be a surprise when people open this up because, first of all, I will warn you, or advise you that there's over 100 different people involved in this book. This is an oral history. It's different. It is from the people themselves. It's their words, which must have been quite an ordeal for you to put this all together. How did this come about, Brian, that you were able to do this?
Well, yeah. Well, I guess I should start by explaining what an oral history is, just for some listeners in case they're unaware that you know, unlike most books, and especially books out of Washington that are written in kind of your typical prose form, paragraph mm-hmm. after paragraph, as you mentioned, this is a book that's essentially just made up of interviews that I went out and interviewed 112 people who worked at the White House or who had served in the, you know, House of Representatives or the Senate or were cabinet members or, you know, were campaign strategists for Obama or for Romney or McCain or, for that matter, Trump, Clinton, and Sanders are in there too. And so, you know, you end up cutting up all these interviews, right? You slice and dice them and kind of create these bite-sized quotes throughout the whole book, and you tell the story of Washington from the past 10 years. And as you asked me, accessing that particular universe was nearly impossible for me. It took a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the inner world here, the inner sanctum of, as you say it, Obama world, interviewing aides and advisors in the administration. I think, you know, for those of us who would like to have some understanding of, you know, the brain trust, the world view that operated in that administration, this is quite revealing. I mean, you know, from a standpoint that, I mean, without trying to get partisan here, I mean, clearly most of the oral history here, because you're dealing with the president's administration, yes, it's predominantly Democrat. There are some Republican perspectives here. But, you know, for those of us who are trying to gain some understanding and appreciate where this president, because, as much as he was supported by the media, in many ways, Brian, there's still mystery behind this president.
Well, yeah, I would say a couple of things to that. And as you pointed out about the fact that the majority of the participants in the book worked under Obama, because it is, in effect, a book about the Obama administration, that there are more people who are registered Democrats than Republicans in the book. Mm-hmm. But for me, and I won't hide my personal bias. I mean, I think Obama is the most accomplished Democratic president since FDR. That is not a controversial statement. But for me, the challenge on top of just getting access to these people was then how do you create a rigorous story, a story that is not fluff, a story that truly reveals this sort of stress bag that the Beltway can create crisis after crisis. How do you do that, without looking like the Obama fan club president, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was, like, I was determined to make sure that happened. If anything, because who would want to read a book that's just about all nice, gooey things about Obama? Like that, to me, is an insult to Obama.
Right. To your point here, Brian, what I appreciated was because of the disparate viewpoints here, it enlightened me to think that, whoa, there were disparate views here. I mean, it wasn't like everybody was drinking from the same grape juice. They had different ideas and approaches to this presidency. And, and this gives them a chance to, to express that and for us to document that for those of us who are historians and want to understand, have a better understanding of this administration.
I mean, you clearly, there are, when you talk about even just on the liberal side, the disagreements through, through policy and communications over the years, it is fascinating to just be able to kind of feel like you're just in that bunker for a minute and watching these people bat back and forth their ideas. I guess that's how I felt about it, putting the book together. Like, as I mentioned, like I didn't want to be an advocate. I didn't approach it either thinking like, I can't wait to make, Larry Summers look like an idiot or something like that. Like, it just didn't occur to me. I really found myself just kind of getting consumed by the nerdy politicalness of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and knowing that, because I know there are readers out there like me who just love to devour that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, to go down through this journey that you took us through, it's an oral history. I say you took us through because you put this together, but it's from their mouths to our ears here, and to go back and appreciate the historicity and the incredible accomplishment that Barack Obama did just from the start of his presidency. I mean, here it is. You have a junior senator who goes to a couple of his mentors and says, hey, I think I'm going to run for, I want to run for president, including Joe Lieberman. And, and all that, through the process, the early days, the early months of getting the campaign and before it really caught stride, and what they had to overcome in terms of the Clinton machine that was already in place and everything, it was quite astounding that against those odds, he was able to rise above it all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you remind me of a couple of things. I mean, I always feel like when it comes to when it comes to a successful campaign, it's got to be about the message, right? I mean,
yes.
Feel like that is the thing before anything else.
Yeah. In the absence of message, you better have lots of money, Brian. That's what we say in marketing. I'm a marketing guy, so yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
Look at Joe Crowley, right?
Yes.
Where did money get him? He was outspending her 10-1 in the Bronx, right?
Right.
Ocasio-Cortez just whipped him. I mean, it's all about the message every single time. But the other thing that you reminded me of, kind of as you were describing a lot of the events taking place leading into the 2007 primary of Obama against Edwards and Clinton, and what I haven't mentioned was kind of the challenge of assembling this, right? So again, after obtaining the interviews, after making sure that you're not creating some kind of softball, to craft the story itself and to make it kind of feel like a smooth ride, I mean, there's some artistry to that.
No, well, you don't need to apologize for it because, yes, I mean, like anything, you've got to pull this together in a storyline, and you're doing something rather unusual. Like you say, there's no additional prose. I mean, this is coming from their mouths to our ears, and it's assembling this together and making it cohesive and chronological in a way that we can follow the storyline and to be recalled, to recall what's going on. To me, I have always felt that what's been devoid of a lot of journalism these days is one of the key reasons for journalism to exist, and that is to document history. And your book goes a long way to that end. And we're going to talk more about it on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. We're talking Obama and Oral History 2009 to 2017. The author, Brian Abrams, here on Bill Martinez Live.
This report is brought to you by Orthodermatologics, the makers of Salik Brodalumab Injection. For over 25 years, Jane Nastasi searched for the right treatment for her plaque psoriasis, a chronic non-contagious skin disease that caused her embarrassment and forced her to wear clothing that exposed little skin, even during the summer. After trying many treatments, Jane's dermatologist suggested she try Salik Brodalumab Injection, a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from injections or pills, systemic therapy, or phototherapy, treatment using ultraviolet light treatment, and who have tried other systemic therapy that didn't work or stopped working. It's not known whether Salik is safe and effective in children. Salik works differently than other psoriasis treatments by blocking a specific group of proteins at the site of inflammation. Patients often try a variety of treatments before finding one that works, or sometimes a treatment works for a while and then stops. Since being treated with Salik, Jane's skin is almost cleared.
I spent years uncomfortable in my own skin. Salik changed that for me. I hope others with this condition will talk to their doctor about available treatment options to find what works best for them.
Salik Brodalumab Injection is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from injections, pills, systemic therapy, or phototherapy, and who have tried another systemic therapy that didn't work or stopped working. Do not take Salik if you are allergic to any of its ingredients. Tell your doctor if you have a history of suicidal thoughts, depression, anxiety, or mood problems, or if you start to have these, as suicidal thoughts and behavior have occurred in patients treated with Salik. Salik may lower your ability to fight infections and may increase your risk of infection. Before starting Salik, your doctor should test for tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or have symptoms of infection, such as fever, fatigue, cough, or any type of sores, or if you plan to receive or have recently received a vaccine. If you have Crohn's disease, do not use Salik, as symptoms may worsen. Talk to your doctor about additional safety information and to see if Salik is an option for you. For full prescribing information, including medication guide, please visit www.salik.com or call Salik Solutions at 1-855-RX-SALIK, 1-855-797-4547, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hey, millennials, know what you believe and why. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you. Welcome. Thank you for sharing a part of your day with us. If you miss any part of this interview and this discussion with Brian Abrahams, know that it'll be posted on our website. Share it with your friends. This is awesome. I so respect what Brian has done on our behalf in terms of documenting history. And he's done this quite well in utilizing over 100, that's 120, he said, interviews here, which is quite expansive. And he says this humbly. Let me tell you know, it is a craft to be able, and a special skill set, to be able to take this diverse group of people, even though most are Democrats and they are in the inner workings of the Obama administration, but to get their statements on record and to edit and bring it together in a cohesive, understandable and comprehensive sort of way to walk us through the Obama administration is quite remarkable. Brian, again, I cannot thank you enough for all the hard work. This was not a simple deal. How long did it take you to put this together?
Yeah, thanks for saying all that. I spent about 2 years on the book, and again, I mean, you have all these personalities that are in the tank for Obama, and you have to be aware of that. The thing is, you know, members of Congress, even like Democrats, you know, they, a lot of them, first off, they love to talk. A lot of them love to go on TV. So, you know, you use that to your advantage, when they express their independence from like the administration. I think even for those who try to be too protective of a president, I can't think of a specific example at this time, but just the feeling of knowing when you're talking to someone who's kind of keeping their cards close to their vest, you can use that to your advantage as a storyteller. Mm-hmm. You know, someone can, I mean, the people who pick up the book and you read it, I mean, you can tell when someone is kind of holding back. And I try to use that, contrast that with other people who want to be a little more, you know, on the attack about a particular issue, whether it's a Dodd-Frank or whether it's Iraq, take your pick.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you try to use that giant salad bowl of voices,
right.
You know, mix it up to your advantage.
But, Brian, the paradigm was somewhat established, if I understand this correctly, within the Obama administration. I mean, they really ran roughshod, and I say roughshod, maybe that's too harsh a word, but they were really vigilant about holding their cards, as you say, close to their chest. They weren't spilling stuff out. There wasn't, you know, the administration itself wasn't known necessarily for its leaking. If there were leaks that occurred, they were very calculated, unlike some other administrations.
Yeah, that makes me think about a lot of instances. I mean, you know, the first thing that pops into my mind, of course, is you know, the headlines we read in, specifically, if I remember right, the first couple of years in the White House. You know, 2009, 2010, Rahm Emanuel is the chief of staff. Larry Summers is the is heading up the National Economic Council. And I believe the term that we saw in the headlines was insular. That was the thing that kept popping up,
right.
That it felt like there was this kind of tighter circle, and that, you know, that led one to believe that, you know, even, say, Democrats on the Hill, you know, weren't invited to the table to have discussions about, you know, whatever the you know, the entree of the day was, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I have heard sort of an array of reasons for why that perception had surfaced.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this has actually been written in other books. I think of Larry Summers and how he really, as it's been reported, you know, really tried to control all the different economic apparatuses in the executive branch to go through him so that he could sort of, you know, can control that to bring to the Oval Office what needed to be seen and what needed not to be seen. So I'm familiar with that. But, you know, I think there's a much larger truth to keep in mind, which was, in addition to the, you know, the presidential, the agenda going into, you know, January 20th, 2009, and they had themselves a long laundry list. You know, they were dealt this bad hand, right, with the,
right.
with the housing crisis and then an economic crisis. And I think that on top of the two wars and on top of everything else they were trying to do, and the healthcare committee hearings had been happening since spring of 08. So,
mm-hmm.
so it's probably a combination of everything, but the fact that the workload was just so incredible probably is why it seemed, quote, insular. I think they were just busy.
Yeah. Well, I guess that because of the seemingly insular nature of this administration, I guess that's what makes your ability to get behind the scenes so remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is interesting when you look at the people who were in the room for certain meetings, and I don't remember if we actually talked about this in the first segment, but how there are certain people who can tell the story better than others. Did we get into that much?
No, we didn't. Go ahead.
Well, it's interesting to me how when putting together an oral history, which again, you know, it depends on the voices of the people who are willing to speak with you, right?
Well, and to that point, real quick here, Brian, if I can interrupt you for a moment, because that was my thought in some of the, you know, with some of the cases, is that could almost have been, although it's not, you know, a chapter, it's not broken up into chapters, but that could almost have been a chapter where you had somebody who had such insight to it. But everything is a quick read. I mean, you're again, demonstrating the disparate viewpoints at any point of occurrences within the administration. But I thought at some point you could have almost let them go, but that wasn't consistent with the format of this oral history.
Yeah, I mean, if you're saying, I mean, that's deliberate of me. I didn't want to create something where it's just this long quote that lasts for three pages. Like, like I think that's not how – I just don't think that serves as a good read. I think that, you know, when I break it up and you can kind of feel each quote lasts – like some paragraphs crusts are thicker than others, but it's all pretty quick, and you're just kind of like skipping along, right? You're jumping
right,
from one
exactly.
rock to the next rock to the next rock. And so, and I do that deliberately because I believe that's what makes a reader go, they look up and they're like, huh, I just burned through 200 pages. How did that happen? You know? So you'll notice, you got me, you'll notice how there are episodes where you have, you know, for example, the crisis about Reverend Wright in the spring of 08 when, mm-hmm. You know, the Clinton campaign rumoredly kind of made these tapes resurface from, you know, a reverend from a church in Chicago
that the president had attended for many years, right? Well, he married him.
Yeah,
he even married him, yeah.
Right. So you have these, like, tapes come on, this guy saying these radical things. And so the conversation of that in the book and how, you know, the Obama campaign had to get out of that one. You know, the chief speechwriter at the time, Jon Favreau, he kind of takes the lead in that particular episode in the book. You can tell that he had a lot to say because his name keeps popping up and popping
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
But if I had just, like, put his name down and let that just slide across six pages without breaking it up with other voices like Valerie or Axelrod to come in, it would have made for a horrible read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, and like I said earlier, you appreciate the disparate viewpoints because it demonstrates that not everyone, I mean, it wasn't like a collective grape juice experience, everybody drinking out of the same trough there. But certainly with Favreau, like you said, whether it was this crisis management or others where he took the lead on, certainly, you know, he was definitely definitive. He wasn't wishy-washy about it. He had an idea of what needed to be done, and he was forthright about it.
Yeah, I mean, he was genuine in what he shared with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what you remind me of? That there were, I can't remember all their names right this second, but there were like four or five people that I interviewed and I didn't include in the book because they just didn't give me anything good. Right. And I don't mean give me anything good like something salacious. I mean that it clearly was them being so soft and gooey about, you know, their memories there. They were trying to keep it just so nice and polite, not, mm-hmm. you know, that it felt so insincere that it was just... It was just worthless to me.
Yeah, this is not a high school annual. This is not like
right.
this. So it's a little bit different. Let me ask you here in this last minute that we have together, do you feel like you got everything that you wanted to in the book, Obama and Oral History, 2009 to 2017? Or do you think there's part due necessary?
Well, I mean, I think the book is the book. I wanted to keep it at 500 pages. Anything longer would have been way too laborious for a read. But I always had fantasies of including other episodes. I actually had this fantasy of talking to everyone involved with the Citizens United hearing at SCOTUS, and I wanted to recreate some kind of, like, courtroom drama with all the lawyers involved and everything, but that, I just didn't have the time, and I wouldn't have the space to do it, but that was something I wanted to squeeze in there.
Maybe a novel, Brian. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what else you come up with, but hey, again, I cannot thank you enough for documenting history here. This is a great effort, and I highly recommend people to read this to get some added insight and some clear insight. I think maybe in a more objective way than we've had before. An Oral History, 2009 to 2017, Obama and Brian Abrams. Thank you, Brian.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protective building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutriMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. Or call our order line, 888-212-8871.
Broadcasting.